Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Tramble Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 24th, 2024. I am your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Gordo. How are you, G-Man?
Pretty damn good. Pretty good, Andy. I think on reflection with last week, I've got a lot of reasons to be happy about how we all performed, but I feel we maybe need to introduce the main man, fresh from Saltcoats with that kit on. Is Mr. Joey Slensack. Joey, how you doing, mate?
Hey, guys. Feeling pretty good after last week's brilliant 4-4. Definitely sweated a little bit for it. But then after shaving this morning, I had that take you back down to earth moment where I realized I now look like Stephen Ireland. And, you know, hey, that'll happen if you spend a couple of years betting on the Oura Red Diamonds. So we roll with the punches and, yeah.
You had a full head of hair when we started this podcast. Like,
it happens to all of us. Like, I'm looking at me now. Just look at all the great. You think, you know, you've regressed. I look like Roy Hodgson.
What, now?
Aye.
It's in the hospital.
What a career that man had. Like, sad to see, obviously, Jerome, who's a big Crystal Palace fan. Yeah. What a career Roy Hodgson had. See if
he
you look back,
some mental teams, isn't he?
Where he's been around the world and the caliber of the teams he's managed, an international manager for England as well. Absolute hero, that gentleman. So calling time on a wonderful career. But good luck to Crystal Palace, obviously, for Jerome's sake. But yeah, now that I bring up Roy Hodgson, absolutely superb. If I could have half the career in that, I'd be delighted.
Yeah. I think that's
To have a career, period.
Yeah, a career. Yeah.
I mean, I have a career. I wasn't necessarily meaning football-wise, Joey. I was just meaning generally in life. If my career was like quite good, that would be okay. I don't think I'll have a football management career. I'm doubtful.
I believe you have a bet
not with that
around the football manager career, Andy.
I do actually. I have a fiver. I have a fiver with a... with a professional poker player that's good for the money at odds of, like, I think it's 100,000 to 1 that I will manage at least one Derby County game in my life.
Have you been making strides towards it? Do you feel the podcast is the way in? The reverse.
I mean, maybe.
Is that what you're going to do here? You start with a gambling podcast and end up in football as opposed to the other way around.
I mean, I've got plenty of time. Like, you know, what I need is for Derby County to go get severe financial difficulty. And then to the point that I could pay them to manage a game, knowing I would be getting 500K in the bank.
Yeah.
I could pay them like 200K. And there we go.
Wage bill sorted for that week.
That's it. I mean, this is not if anyone's new to the podcast, this is not normally how we start it.
No, it's not regular start, especially on a week where we've been so good as well. This is the kind of start to a podcast where we went 1 of 12. So there hasn't been many, but they've existed. But I mean, Andy, do you want to kick on with
Let's kick on. Let's review last week. Let's review last week, because it was a very good week overall for the whole show and for each of us individually. My banker was Sunday, St Johnstone versus Rangers in the Scottish Premiership. Just a straightforward Rangers win at banker odds of 1-4, and they won the game 3-0 in a very straightforward manner. They didn't go two goals up until the 80th minute for that early payout, but considering St Johnstone didn't have a single shot on target all game, this was always comfortable.
Nice one. Well, I'll talk about my banker now. It was Atalanta versus Sassuolo, 3-0 win for Atalanta. They were up 1-0 in the first half. Sassuolo then missed a penalty, which very good for us there. And then Atalanta... when you miss a penalty just before halftime, I'm pretty assured my banker's coming in, because that is so defeating. Like the rest
it's
of the
soul destroying, isn't it?
It's horrible. But yeah, because Koopmeyer's come on 58th minute, scored, and then Backer come on immediately. Mitchell Backer come on immediately after like 2 minutes been on the pitch, goal. So 3-0 win, 4-11, straightforward. Joey.
Yeah, and sticking with the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes, if you will. We were in Turkey for Kasım Paşa versus Karagümrük, and I took Kasım Paşa on the double chance, and they actually never trailed in this match. They ended up drawing 1-1, but they took the lead twice, and actually their second goal in the second half ended up getting chopped off. So they technically nearly got that win that I was potentially going to put them in the value slot for. So I'm glad I stuck with the double chance for the banker, and that sailed in at just shy of 1-2, pretty much 1-2 the whole time.
Nice.
Yep. Fantastic. So that was all the banker bets in, which we always want to see. And if you combine them together, 1.38-1. So a nice win in the banker column. On to the value picks then. This was my only loss of the week. Saturday, 3 p.m. in the Scottish Championship, where I took Greenock Morton to win away at Queen's Park. They've been absolutely flying. They were 13-10. I just really liked the price, closer to 6-4 than even money. Game ended 0-0. Frustrating. Because Morton had 5 shots on target compared to Queen's Park's 1. They just couldn't turn any of them into goals. Friend of the show in Queen's Park season ticket holder Martin Harvey posted on our Facebook group that the Queen's Park keeper basically earned them that point by himself. So we were really close. Just no joy. A frustrating 0-0 in there when we needed a Greenock Morton goal.
Yeah, it was what was holding the show apart at one point. Just the way that the games fell as well. And it was also a game I nearly attended. Being at a loose end on Saturday, I was like, oh, I might just go to that. And I'm so glad I didn't attend that game, because it would have been double soul destroying on that thing.
You could have made the difference.
I could have.
Giving them that motivational, you know, started the chance. Shouting, you could have drawn from your energy.
They could have. Sub me in. Put me in, coach. I'm ready. But yeah, so as Andy's alluded to, that was a losing value slot. But otherwise, the values went really well. Mine was Friday night, Nancy versus Marigny. This is the French Ligue Nationale, which is the third French division. Everything you want from a not-to-goal payout league happened in the first half for me. Nancy were 2-0 up, and Marigny went down to 10 men. If you want your own personal two-goal payout assurance, having a man sent off for the other team is excellent in there. They actually got a goal, which was relatively surprising. Marigny got a goal after getting a man taken off, and then proceeded to get another man sent off, and Nancy went on and scored 2 additional goals. 4-1 win for Nancy. Final price it went off at 4-5. Joey.
Yeah, brilliant. The LD special cash.
It was
again.
The LD special right there.
So my value pick was Norwich versus Cardiff in the Championship. And this might have been probably my favorite pick of the weekend, simply because of the fact that I wasn't actually initially looking at this. When I sent Gordo and Andy my picks the night before, I actually had Antwerp both teams to score. And I was like, I might save that for the middle section just because that could be a little dicey. And sure enough, Antwerp miss a penalty and then lose 1-0. So that would not have cashed. Instead, Norwich to win did cash. They ended up winning 4-1, and this was actually paid out after a Josh Sargent brace in the 54th minute. They actually trailed 1-0 in the first 19 minutes and then turned it around before halftime, and they just kept foot on the gas in the second half.
Superb. Result, man. Brilliant stuff. Really good result, guys. So 2 out of 3 on the value picks there, which, you know, we're picking shots around even money. If we got 2 out of 3 every week in the values, then that's healthy profit across the board. On to the outsiders then, and this is where we look for something the bookies have priced up as an underdog, and you get a nice big price to reflect that. My outsider was Friday evening in the Danish Superliga, which had just returned from its winter break, so it had been off since the beginning of December. And I really liked the look of Odense away at Viborg and the huge price you were getting of 5-2. The game went exactly how I thought it might. 2 teams pretty equal in capability, but Odense, with that great record of taking points away from home, went and won the game 2-1. So my outsider came in at better than 2-1, odds of 5-2. Lovely.
Only block for me this week was outsiders. Should have picked a draw in another game. Not tried to pick a winner somewhere. I took Silkeborg, a home to FC Copenhagen, who were playing against Man City midweek. Fancied Silkeborg here because we obviously had to play Man City in the midweek. Silkeborg lost this game 3-0. So it wasn't close scoring-wise. Possession and everything else was relatively close, you know, 46%, 8 shots on goal to 11, but losing 3-0 does not make it a close game. You know, you lose by 3, you're done. And yeah, only blot, apart from Morten that week, was this as well. So had Morten won, I think it might have been a worse way to go than losing 2.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure. Oh, yeah. For absolute certainty. How did you find your experience in the Danish Super League, Gordo?
Would not return 0 out of 10.
not as easy as it looks.
Not as easy as it looks. Yeah, I'll wait till you hear about my Urawa picks for this week. No, I just disappointed with that one there. But not a million miles away from it. But it's an outsider. I'm not.
They're outsiders. It was 14-5. Like, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Unfortunate. Joey, you're outsider. Yeah.
No, I was watching that match for probably 3/4 of it, and they're creating some good chances, and they actually had a really, really good chance right after the break. Just pulled it wide of the post, and so they go up 1-0 right after the break. This is a completely different story, but yeah. Unlucky one. My outsider was a little Andy and I thought we were on two different ends of where we were at with that one. I had Andrew Luck win plus both to score, and they conceded early, which Andy rightfully was like, okay, well, we got that part out of the way. Easy sailing. Now you got a better price on the pre-match, all that good stuff. But then a little devil in the back of my head's like, well, but they're going to start pressing, and they could definitely get caught out on the break. And then they go 2-0 down, and this gets really difficult. But luckily, their coach really got on them after the first half, where they were down 1-0, and they scored 3 goals in 5-6 minutes after the 49th minute. So they were up 3-1, and then they had a late penalty to go up 4-1. And it ultimately was a lot less of a sweat than it was looking at the beginning. But just the way that started going, it was like, oh, gee, this is going to be one of those games where like they just start missing every shot off the crossbar, sailing headers wide. And you're just like, oh, boy. But luckily it worked out. And yeah, it always feels good to get an outsider win, given how much I always struggle in that category.
No luck about it. They won 4-1 at odds of 5-2. Love it. Love it, Joey. Superb. So two of the outsiders in. I always back the outsiders as a tricksy because the odds are huge to begin with. So you only need 2 out of 3 to return a profit. So a really good profit this week in the outsiders. Which meant the only thing that was left was the charity treble. So £10 of our own money. And we pick a team each or a result or a bet each, combine it as a treble, and all returns, should we win, go to charity. I got us off to a good start Saturday, 3 p.m. in the Scottish Premiership, selecting Hearts to beat Motherwell at home. And they won 2-0, and we got that early payout. Again, they took the lead through Lauren Shankland. He just keeps scoring. Hearts to win and Lauren Shankland to score anytime is just a very profitable bet this year. So he got the first one, and then Vargas saw the game off by adding a second goal in stoppage time. So Hearts won, and the first leg of the charity was in.
The real first leg of the charity bet kicked off at 7 a.m. For Sydney versus Adelaide United. So to start the charity bet properly in there, we got a win here. This was a 2-1 win for Sydney FC versus Adelaide United. 2-0 up in 86 minutes, conceded a goal 90+6. So not even, you know, you can see the goal and it's not even really a sweat because I know it's 90+7.
That's the game over anyway.
Like, as soon as they're passing that ball off the centre circle, it's done. So a good win in there for Sydney. And yeah, coming back from not the greatest of form pre-Christmas into really back to where they were before, maybe last season when they were tearing it up. So yeah, Sydney won, I think it was 7-10, shorter price, 6-11 actually went off. So a shorter price there, but a charity win nonetheless. So Joey,
yeah, no, that was that was a great one. That was a tough one. I sent our little group. We had a group chat, and I had 3-1 Sydney FC with Fabio Gomez on it. So it's a little tough to land one goal short, but we got the important part of that, and then bringing it all home right at the same time as Lawrence Shankland and Hearts was Austria Vienna against Altach, and this was by far the sweatiest of all three of my picks. And well, sweaty for most people.
You say
not
that,
quite
Joey.
For Yeah, not quite for
us.
Fortunate bettors,
civilized
with 365. Yeah, they this was paid out in 43 minutes. Austria Vienna had a goal chopped off real early, and then they ended up going up 2-0 at halftime. But for the rest of us peasants, without that lovely two-goal early payout, there was a red card in the 57th minute, which made things really interesting. Altach scored in the 78th minute, and then they had some really threatening chances. But the Austria-Vienna keeper made some brilliant saves to preserve that 2-1 win. And then 8 minutes of stoppage time was definitely not what I wanted to see. And so that was a somewhat terrifying way to watch the end of that game. But luckily, it finished the right way we wanted. And it was 4-4 for me, which cashed on Sunday with Anderlecht. But most importantly, it's a win for the charity treble. How can it you was. Not be happy about that?
Another win for the charity treble. So our £10 turned into £53.49. And with the Cheltenham Festival around the corner, I donated this to the Injured Jockeys Fund. So they received £53.49, courtesy of the Trample Bet podcast. Superb. And as Joey alluded to, just a great week. 4 out of 4 for Joey, 3 out of 4 for myself, 3 out of 4 for Gordo, 10 out of 12 for the show. Profit everywhere, which was much needed for me, considering I put a huge dent in my bankroll backing my own team, Dundee United, on Friday night. So those four pies you ate as well.
They must have put the bankroll a wee bit.
Right. So Gordon brought it up. So I'll tell the story. I'm at the game, Raith Rovers, Dundee United, in Kirkcaldy. If anyone knows the Scottish Championship, Dundee United are heavy favourites. We're heavy, heavy favourites to win that league. And we went into the game with a 4-point lead over Raith Rovers. And what happens? We go a goal down within like the first 15 minutes, like we do all the time under Jim Goodwin, and then struggle to break down teams. So as soon as the goal went in, angry. Some of the fans were angry. Fans were fighting amongst themselves. I went downstairs to get a pie, stood in the pie queue, got to the front, ordered a pie, had the pie, couldn't face going back upstairs, so just rejoined the back of the queue, stood in the queue, talking to more people, got to the front, had a pie, repeated this 4 times, and then just went back up at half time, so missed the majority of the first half. The boy behind the counter was like that to me the third time. He's like, you do know you don't have to buy these individually. And I just went, yeah, I just can't face going back up there and watching any more of that. Of course, Dundee United scored. We equalised in the first half, so I did go back up, watch the second half, where we wasted chance after chance and then got hit in the 90th minute with our Raith Rovers goal, and they won the game 2-1. And now our lead at the top of the table is 1 point in February in a league that we, let's be honest, on paper, should be miles ahead in. So, yeah, it's not a good time to be a United fan.
I mean, this does give us an opportunity to, if you are in the Facebook group, you listen to the podcast this week, let us know your 4-pie experiences, right? What's happening to, have you ever been to a game where you need to, well, you decided you couldn't face any more of it. You decided, I'm going to go to the toilet for half an hour. I'm just going to potter about the stands. Have you had your own 4P calling it? So, wait, do you have one
I think
there?
I don't. But I think what's being lost in all of this, the one key detail that we're missing from this story is, what kind of pies were they? Were they all the same pie?
Did you have a selection?
A variety, yeah. Like it's a new experience every time you make that trip down the queue.
So I initially wanted a steak bridie. They didn't have any bridies left, right? So I was like, well, what do you have then? He's like, oh, I can do a steak pie. So the first one was a steak pie. The second one was a Donner pie, which was actually excellent. Not the same kind of Donner pie you get at Hampden. This one had like a chili sauce through it. It was more saucy. It was like, yeah. So it was actually really good. So I went steak Donner. There you go.
Oh, nice.
Attaboy.
Get a bit there back and forth there.
Anyway, what a terrible start to my weekend. Made much better by all these picks and all the good work from the three of us. So we got obviously the banker treble in, the charity treble in, the outsider Trixie return profit. And overall, it was just a very, very good week. So congratulations. And we hope that our listeners got on some of that as well. If you did have a very good week as a result of the podcast, you might think about giving something back in the form of joining the Trampled Bet Club on Patreon. £6 a month, it helps us with the cost of running the show, upgrades our equipment every so often, and keeps all our subscriptions to Ophonic and all that good stuff going. So if you do fancy it, head to tramplebet.com, have a wee look at Patreon, £6 a month, but you get stuff back as well. You get the cheat sheet, so all the picks written down for the week. You get extra content shows. We've got the Cheltenham Festival coming up, the horse racing, be loads of stuff around that. We've got the golf majors to look forward to this year. But you also get the midsection. So while the normal version of the podcast on Spotify or Amazon Music will be going to an ad break soon, on Patreon, you get to see the video podcast, the unedited stuff. And we have a midsection where we talk about picks we like in all different sports, or football picks that, you know, didn't quite make the show, but we still like the look of this weekend. So loads of stuff for your £6 a month. Come and join us. Just search tramplebet.com. Talking of the ad break, we're heading there now. Patreons, we'll see you at the midsection, and we'll see everyone back.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Let's try and do as well as we did last week, which was a tremendous week. Same show as always, banker bets from the three of us, values, outsiders, and then we wrap it all up with a pick from each of us for the charity treble. £10 of our own money, Gordo's money this time, seeing as it was mine last time, and it switches if we get a winner. So yeah, let's rival last week. I'm straight in, Friday night, no messing about. The German Bundesliga at 7:30 p.m. for Leverkusen versus Mainz, and the home win for Leverkusen here, banker odds of 2-9. Leverkusen are now in a 32-game unbeaten streak. Like, they lead the Bundesliga by 8 points. They've taken 58 points from 22 matches so far this season. They're just dominating. Mainz are second bottom of the league. They're in 17th place. They've only taken 15 points all year. So that's compared to Leverkusen's 58. You can see the disparity there. Leverkusen have also been tremendous at home. They've taken 29 points from 11 home matches. So 29 out of possible 33. You know, and they're playing teams much better than Mainz most of the time. They've scored 32 times. They've conceded only 6 goals at home all season. Mainz have been rotten. They've been rotten on the road. They've taken 6 points from 11 away games. There's really not much more to say here, except I expect Leverkusen to batter Mainz. I think 2-9 is a really fair price for a straight-up win.
Yeah. Did you see the fun fact this weekend or last weekend? Because of how the fixtures went in the German leagues, with all of the smaller clubs having the bigger clubs away from home, and how the fixtures fell in the German second division, the average attendance of the German second division was higher than the top.
Wow. Now,
oh, yeah.
I've been to some German second division games. The stadiums are not small.
No, not at all.
Like, that's not as surprising as if that happened in Scotland.
No, absolutely. It's like, yeah, you turned around and you were like, Airdrie Hamilton, it's 26,000 people at it. You'd be like, oh, that's the whole town out, eh? But yeah, so I'll move on to my banker. A pick I'm really confident about. I wouldn't like to be confident about it, but unfortunately we are where we are. This is Man City away at Bournemouth. City obviously having not a bit of a wobble just now, but like, they're not running away with the league as people would have expected. They're 1 point behind Liverpool, played the same amount of games now. But this is kind of the point of the season where
I cannot believe you. The only thing you're saying there is they are 1 point behind Liverpool.
They are 1 point behind Liverpool.
Yeah, they are. But like Arsenal are right there as well.
No,
like,
but just, I mean, they're behind.
We just forget that Arsenal exists, do we?
There's no point in having rear view mirrors in this thing. It's about being ahead here.
Not even rear view. So, they're not in the same point.
I mean, they're on. The Arsenal have 1 point behind them.
Yeah. So like, yeah,
so they're
right
not the same
there.
Points. They're so anyway, like. Look, you just keep thinking about these Europa League places, right? But yeah, so you've got Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal all towards the top just now. Man City last night beat Brentford, who are kind of a bogey team. Like, they really struggle against them. And they weren't all for that game. That wasn't an easy win for them. There was a couple of one-on-ones that Brentford squandered through on goal. But yeah, they play against Bournemouth here, who are not in terrible form. They looked like they were going to get relegated like after the first 10, 15 games. But, you know, they've moved their way back out into 13th now, taking 28 points. City's away form is unreal. Their last 10 games have all been wins. The one prior to that was a 1-0 loss to Aston Villa. Those wins have come against Luton, Red Star, Urawa, Everton, Newcastle, Tottenham, Brentford and FC Copenhagen. What a round that is for Andy there.
Red Star, not the French National Red Star.
No.
I think we're in Belgrade.
The Belgrade boys. But yeah, they've been, you know, they're still picking up points away from home here. They're not firing on all cylinders just now, but you give me just under 1-2 for City away at the moment is a farcical price for a team that will probably go on and take 15 points from the next five games.
100% agree. It's a huge price. So like, I know we're saying 4-9 is huge, but for the circumstances, it is huge.
Yeah. No, we're not even really talking about Bournemouth. Like, Bournemouth haven't been horrendous, but their last five games have been a 2-each draw with Newcastle. They lost to Fulham. They drew with Nottingham Forest and they drew with West Ham. Like, that's... They're not playing City in here. Like, this is... So, yeah. I'll take City away from home. Joey?
Yeah, for my bankers, since it works so well the past 2 weeks, we're going to be sticking with the meat and potatoes, because my Polish and German ancestors would not be happy with me if I kept calling it bread and butter. So for this one, we're going to be in Australia for Perth Glory hosting Wellington Phoenix. We're going to go with both teams to score, unsurprisingly, and that's going to be at 1.46-ish, just shy of 1-2. That's on Saturday at 10:45 a.m. And so top spot, Wellington travel to Perth to face the 10th best team on paper. But these are two of the most informed teams in the league, with Perth picking up the joint most points in the last five matches. They've actually scored the most goals in their last 10 matches. And they've just picked up four fewer points than the Knicks during those 10 matches. Perth have seen both teams to score in over 2.5 in 13 straight matches, with both teams to score in 7 of 8 home matches this season, scoring in all 8 of those. Wellington may have conceded the joint fewest goals in the league, but looking at home and away splits, they've conceded 12 of their 19 goals away from home, with both teams to score in 7 of their last 9 overall and 6 straight away matches. There should be plenty of goals in this one, and I wouldn't be surprised if both sides end up scoring 2 goals each, honestly. Adam Taggart for Perth Glory has just been on an insane run of form, just like Lawrence Shanklin. He's got 10 goals across 9 of his last 11 starts, and he scored in 7 of 8 home matches, including the fact that 8 of 12 of his goals this season have come at home. I think that's a phenomenal shout. He's just over 3-2 for anytime goal, and I think he's definitely going to help us get over to that both teams to score hump.
Cool beans.
Yep, it's been working well for you, Joey. And I like the bankers this week. I like them every week, but everything we said there is good. The prices are good. So the banker treble this week: win for Bayer Leverkusen at home to Mainz, a win for Man City away at Bournemouth, and both teams to score in the Australia A-League fixture between Perth Glory and Wellington Phoenix. Combine them as a treble, 1.64-1. So better than 1.5-1, better than 6-4. I really like that. I back all the picks every week, but excited to see this one come
in. I back all the picks every week, just generally in one big coupon.
The mega will happen. The 12 of 12 will happen. But if you get the bank, for me, if the banker treble comes in, I always have a good week. That's it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. On to the value picks then. This is where we look at something. The price is obviously higher. We think that the chance of it coming in is probably better than the chance the bookies think of it coming in. So you get a wee bit of value in that price. Tend to be around even money. Okay. The J-League is back. There is football in Japan again. Both the J1 League and the J2 League start this weekend. And I was swithering about putting these matches straight into the main show or having them in the midsection. But I'm putting them straight into the main show because while it's the opening weekend and yes, anything can happen, I think because it's the opening weekend and anything can happen, you're getting good prices on things that should happen. For instance, Saturday, 6 a.m. in the top flight, the J1 League, Shonan Bellmare versus Kawasaki Frontale. Kawasaki are priced at 19-20 to win this game on Bet365 and even money to win it on Ladbrokes. I think that is an excellent price. Kawasaki, obviously, Trample Bet's favourites. Last year, they finished the league in 8th place, which is not as good as they have done in previous years where they've generally always been title contenders. But they finished with 50 points compared to Shonan's 15th place and 34 points. More interesting, though, was the home-away split between these teams. Shonan were actually, despite their 15th place, there were 18 teams in the J-League last year, right? There are 20 this year. So they relegated only one and brought up three. So the league's expanded. So they finished 15th out of 18, but were actually 18th worst when taking into account only home games. They took only 14 points from 17 home matches. Kawasaki, while they finished 8th on the away table, ended up 5th. Because they were very good away from home. They took 24 points from 17 away games. The teams played twice at Shonan's ground in 2023. Kawasaki won both times, 3-2 and also 2-0. Kawasaki have been playing competitive football already. They're not starting the season cold. They were cup winners last year. They were in the Super Cup this year against last year the league winners. So that's the Charity Shield, essentially. And they beat Vissel Kobe 1-0 last weekend in that. So that's a great start to the domestic season. They did, however, lose in the Asia Champions League and they lost a 97th minute Shandong goal to go out at the round of 16 stage 6-5 on aggregate in a two-legged affair. So that's pretty brutal. But they are competitive and they're playing against the best teams right across Asia. They'll take confidence from the Super Cup win. They'll be keen to right the ship going out in the Asia Champions League again and get off to a strong domestic start. They're a better side than Shonan and getting them at evens is just good. So they're my value pick this weekend, Kawasaki.
As someone who is halfway through the season, you know, we're at 25 games now, I'm not going to spend as much time on my value pick because it's a lot more simple than Andy's. I don't need as much context. I'm going to take Atletico Madrid away at Almeria. Atletico Madrid have taken 25 points from 51 games. Almeria have taken 8. They are 7-10 away from home. That is my value pick. Joey.
Good. It's just good.
Yeah. Yeah. Really not.
Why would you get more? Get more. If you take 8 points from 25 games, you're not that good at this. Joey.
It's extremely fair. Yeah. Hopefully my value pick's pretty straightforward. And this will also explain why I'm wearing a Rangers top for the Patreon viewers who think that I'm randomly supporting Rangers now. Not necessarily the case, but for this pick, we're going to be Rangers versus Hearts. And I like both teams to score. You can get that just shy of even money. So that's going to be on Saturday at 3 p.m. And you've got a top three battle, and these are just two sides in great scoring form. Rangers are averaging 2.3 goals scored in their last 10 matches, and Hearts are averaging 2.0. Hearts are scoring about the same home and away, averaging about 1.3 goals for, but they've seen both teams to score in 4 of their last 5 away matches and 6 of their last 9 matches overall. Rangers may have the best defensive record, conceding 13 goals in 26 matches, but 9 of those 13 conceded have come at home, with both teams to score in 4 of their last 7 home league matches. And historically, these sides have seen both teams to score in 3 of their last 4 meetings and back-to-back matches at Ibrox. Ultimately, Shanklin has just been a man possessed, scoring 14 goals across his last 12 matches and should be able to help us will this one over the line. Really not trying to overthink this one too much.
Sound?
Fabulous. So the value picks, to quickly recap, a win for Kawasaki Frontale away at Shonan Bellmare, a win for Atletico Madrid away at Almeria, and both teams to score in the Scottish Premiership match between Glasgow Rangers and Heart of Midlothian. The treble works out at 5.46-1.
Nice.
Outsider time, and we've been very good at these. We went 2 out of 3 again on the outsiders last week, and at the price that we tend to go for 2-to-1 shots or better, I mean, 1 out of 3 a week would more than break us even. So we've been doing very well, and we'll look to continue to do that. My outsider is stupidly early, so hopefully Gary, our esteemed producer that makes all of this happen and allows you to listen to the show, gets this up and on all the channels early, because this game is Friday at 5 a.m. UK time for the start of the Japanese J-League. It's the first game of the season. It's live on the wonderful J-League International channel on YouTube, and it's Hiroshima versus Urawa. So Sanfrecce Hiroshima versus the Urawa Red Diamonds. And it's a game between last season's third and fourth place finishers. Hiroshima are 4-to-1 joint favourites to win the league. They're alongside last season's champions Vissel Kobe. Urawa are 7th favourites at 12-to-1, which in my opinion is far too big and a great bet for the season. So if you fancy a season-long J-League bet, Urawa Reds. Now, do I think they'll necessarily get off to a winning start away at the title favourites? No, I don't. So my outside bet here is that this fixture has over 3.5 total goals. So I'm taking the goal line. This is a very Joey bet. Like, I don't tend to do this very often, but it's what I like when looking at this fixture. Over 3.5 goals is 10-3, so better than 3-1. Now, we talked about it a bit on the midsection, so I'll recap slightly. Urawa lost Guinea internationalist Jose Kante, who's one of their forwards, but they have a really strong attack and loads of strong attacking options, and goals are going to come from everywhere, from their midfield, their wingers and their attackers. They've got their number 10, Shoya Nakajima, who's ex-Porto and also ex-Antalyaspor, Joey. There's a name you probably recognise. Norwegian international Ola Solbakken, who's on loan from Roma. Last year's goal of the season winner, Ryoma Watanabe, and Thiago Santana, who was the J-League's top scorer in 2022. So they've got loads of good attacking options. They've got a new manager in this year, Per Mathias Høgmo, who used to be the Norwegian international coach, very experienced coach. Last year, he was in charge of BK Häcken in Sweden. They finished 3rd overall in the league, but relevant for this bet, they easily had the highest number of goals scored across the whole league. And one thing that was really interesting, and there's a really good article, you might want to search and read it. It's all about his style of play and the press. He seems to manage to get better goals out his team than their XG, or at least the same over long term, which is obviously a very good thing when we're backing the goals market. Hiroshima, they are one of the best sides in the league. They've added a striker, Yuki Ohashi, from Shonan Bellmare. So he was the league's top 7th top scorer last year. So they've added to their firepower as well, and that should help them in attack. Last year, both these clubs basically had the best defensive stats in the league. However, they have both bolstered their attacks. And last year, despite them both being brilliantly defensively, both meetings ended up 2-1 to the home team. So they were clearing the 2.5 goal line. I'm thinking with the attacking additions both teams have made, we can push the envelope a little bit and hope for one extra goal. So it's over 3.5 total goals at odds of 10-3. And I either look forward to this just being such a great bit of insight and talking about it next week, or apologising when it finishes 0-0.
I don't like anything to do with the Urawa Red Diamonds. We've covered this pretty extensively, but you know, it's good reasoning. It's just like, I'm really glad you weren't in the Garden of Eden. I would suggest that as soon as you were told perhaps that wasn't a good idea, I'd imagine you'd be fucking full of apples. So anyway, I'll take us on to more regular tuning this week. Andy did get his outsider in last week. So, you know, it's... And
the week before, I think. And then... Yeah. And very close, two draws went back, or one goal out the 2 weeks before. So I'm on a wee outsider role.
Yeah. See. He's around. Pushing his luck now. I will take you to Italy and the Serie B, which is a league I'm in often. This is a 1 o'clock kickoff, which is very traditional in the Italian league here. For Brescia versus Reggiana, and unsurprisingly in this game, I'm taking a draw. I'm taking a draw because the bookies think this will probably be a draw as well. 2-1. Price for a draw. Don't get many draws around that. Reason being, both teams really close to each other in the league. Brescia 9th, Reggiana 13th. 3 points separates them. So not much between the teams. Brescia, Reggiana, last two times it's been played has been a draw. They've only actually played three times relevantly. The games before that were 1999. So can't really be taken much of account of them. But so it's been one Brescia win, two draws. Brescia's home form isn't amazing. They've taken 16 points from 12 games. Reggiana's away form, they've taken 16 points from 12 games. So it just looks a bit like a game that's going to end up a draw here. Reggiana's recent form in the last five games has seen them draw three times. Brescia's has seen them draw two times in the last five. Just looks like a draw. Sometimes you get a bit of a feel for these things as well as just looking at it. Bookies think it probably will end up that as well. 2-1. Joey.
Yeah. I mean, much like that, this is another match that just feels like it'll be a draw. Sticking with Anderlecht again this week, they're playing Club Brugge, and I think 3-1 is just massive for the draw here. I think personally, Club Brugge are a little bit too short. I think they're a little bit too short of a favorite here. So ultimately, I like Anderlecht on the double chance, but I think this will be a draw. And so this is going to be on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. And Anderlecht have perhaps been the surprise outfit of the season, given they finished 11th last season, but they've been brilliant, just losing once in their last 19 matches overall, and are one of two sides in Belgium yet to lose at home, which I need to correct my statement from last week. There are actually three teams in Belgium that hadn't lost at home, Club Brugge being the third. So that's now back to the two that I had incorrectly said last week. And unfortunately, Anderlecht are not at home for this one. So I think these sides should ultimately cancel each other out. And Anderlecht have drawn four of their last seven away matches, / six of their last 12 matches overall. Club Brugge sit third, 9 points behind Anderlecht. And they're the only other team who got to lose at home. So I think definitely shouldn't be the outsiders in this spot. They're understandable favorites, but I think we've just gotten a little bit too short on that. Big factor for me here is the fact that they'll be missing their talisman, Igor Tiago, who technically signed for Brentford, but is still playing for them. I'm not sure how any of that works, but he did get a red card in the last match. So I know in that sense, he is definitely not going to be at the next game. And he's scored nearly 30% of Club Brugge's goals this season. Club Brugge have also drawn eight of their last nine meetings head-to-head with Anderlecht, who also have drawn the second most away matches in the league. Not going to really try to overthink this, and I think this should be pretty straightforward, and it'll be five straight home draws for Club Brugge against Anderlecht after this, hopefully.
The way that you said, actually, there's three teams in Belgium and had a pause after it could be a really good clip. Like, you've just found out there's a third team in Belgian football as opposed to anything else. It's like, there's actually a third team. But yeah, I think...
I didn't see that before, like, yeah.
Cool. So the outsiders this week then, over 3.5 goals in the Japanese J1 league match between Sanfrecce Hiroshima and the Urawa Red Diamonds, a draw between Brescia and AC Reggiana, and a draw between Club Brugge and Anderlecht. If you were to combine them all, you're getting close to 50-1, 47.75-1. But I'll take them as a tricksy, so I just need two out of the three to come in to get a good profit on that. We won the charity bet last week. We sent £53 and change to the Injured Jockeys Fund. Hopefully we can win the charity bet again this week and send even more money to charity. So one pick from each of us and £10 of our own money on the following treble. My pick for the charity is Sunday at 5 a.m. UK time in the Japanese top flight, the J1 League, for Tokyo Verde versus the Yokohama F Marinos. So that's newly promoted Tokyo Verde and last season's runners-up, the Yokohama F Marinos. Verde have spent the last 15 years in the second division of Japanese football. And if anyone remembers the run into the J-League last year, they finished third in the J2 table and then had to rely on a 96th minute, a stoppage time equaliser against Shimizu S-Pulse to snatch promotion back to the top flight after such a long layoff. One of their best players, Ren Kato, who's their left-sided midfielder, and key to one of the reasons they came up, he's actually been transferred to the F Marinos, so they've just taken him. Just gone, well, we'll just take one of your best players because they can, because they, you know, are big and title contenders. To give you an idea on the dolphin class between these two teams, according to the bookmakers right now, if you wanted to bet on the J League winner, Tokyo Verde are 150-1. The Yokohama F Marinos are 5-1. They're just better than them. They're away from home, fine, but you know, they should go there and they should win this game comfortably. They'll be too strong for them. The away win is 8-11. That's it.
Cool. So two things you mentioned there I wanted to pick on. Well, one I didn't mention in my last pick, which is Nesta is actually the manager of Reggiana. Forgot to mention that. Just quite an interesting guy who played with AC Milan for years. And I think was the first power pod I ever had. That's one. Two, how do they injure the jockeys? I assume that's what you're paying for.
So the Injured Jockeys Fund was set up, I think, in the 50s after two jockeys back-to-back in the Grand National received full paralysis injuries as a result of coming off the horse.
I didn't know.
Yeah, so the Injured Jockeys Fund is, obviously it's a career that you need to be healthy to keep doing. You don't have a long-term contract like you would do as a baseball player or as a football player at a club. So if you get injured, it's really bad for your overall income for the rest of your life.
I would imagine.
And family and treatment and all that sort of stuff. So the Injured Jockeys Fund's been on the go for a very long time, a number of decades, and it does a load of good work.
Fab. We've never explained that charity, and it did give me a chance to use a line that I like as an intro. So I'll talk this week about potential charity money here, and it'll be Friday night for me, an Aldi special. As Joey mentioned, tend to go to Aldi on a Friday night about 6:30 before doing whatever I want to do on a Friday night. So this is Friday, 6:30. It is Red Star versus Le Mans, and I'll be taking a Red Star at home. Red Star, top of the league, 20 games played, 43 points taken. They are 5 points ahead of Niort in second. Le Mans are in the relegation playoff zone, which is a bit mental for this league, which stretches from 13th to 18th because they have like this, you're not out of relegation until you're like 12th in this league. They've taken 25 points from their 20 games. Red Star have been fab at home. That's a lot to do with their home form. 9 games played. How many points have they taken? 27. All of them. They haven't unbeaten at home. Le Mans away have also been very good. That's where they've got most of their points, taking 18 from 10 games. So they are the best team away from home. However, they're playing the team who just are running away with this league at the top, and they're not conceding goals at the moment. They're doing really well. They're fab in this spot. You'll get them 5-8, and I think as charity fodder, that's a good time to be doing it. Joey, how are you rounding out this week?
So rounding things out, I'm going to stick with another team from last week, and we're back with Norwich, this time against Blackburn. And I like both teams to score on over 2.5. You can get that at 4-5. So that's going to be on Saturday at 3 p.m. And we've got two solid offenses, with Norwich averaging 1.75 goals for, and Blackburn averaging 1.4 goals for. But both sides really struggled defensively, with Norwich conceding 1.5 goals per match and Blackburn conceding 1.78 goals per match. It's technically 7-8, 7-8 repeating, but it would be kind of mean to round that up on them. Blackburn have seen both teams have scored over 2.5 goals in 9 of their last 12 matches overall now, having played out a 0-0 draw in their midweek match against Cardiff, which is not exactly ideal, but doesn't deter me nonetheless. They've seen both teams score in 10 of those 12 matches. And they've actually seen both teams to score on over 2.5 in 9 of their last 11 home matches. Both teams to score at least in 10 of those as well. Norwich has seen both teams to score on over 2.5 in 7 of their last 9 matches overall, with both teams to score in 9 of those 11. They've also seen both teams to score on over 2.5 in 9 of their last 12 away matches. And so two key scorers for me, because these sides just have plenty of firepower. Sammy Smodix for Blackburn leads the league in goals with 8 scored across 6 of his last 9 starts. And my guy, Josh Sargent, he's really breathed some life into this stagnant Norwich offense with 5 goals in his last 4 starts, blanking just 3 times in his last 9 matches since returning from injury. Fully expect both teams to score here, and both sides are more than capable of grabbing a second.
Thank you very much, Joey. So that means the charity treble this week is a win for Yokohama F. Marinos away at Tokyo Verde, a win for Red Star FC 93 in the French National League against Le Mans. So that's not Red Star Belgrade. Neither is it Red Star Defence Force FC in the Seychelles Premier League, who play St. Louis Suns United this weekend.
Best luck to the boys, though. Obviously, don't want
to. Best luck to all Red Stars. But Red Star FC 93. And over 2.5 goals in both teams to score in the matchup between Blackburn and Norwich City. The treble on 365 just now is 4.49-1. So basically the same as last week's. It would return £54 and change. So hopefully there's an announcement next week where we can say that there's more money going to charity. If you fancied the mega, Gordon's made reference to the mega. That's what we call all 12 picks.
Yep.
The 12 fold this week's 4,500-1. So a fiver into about 23 grand. That'd be nice.
Doable.
That'd be nice.
That'd be all right.
I mean, we were 10 out of 12 last week. Let's make it 12 out of 12 this week. I'm excited this week. The J League's back. You know, check out the International J League channel on YouTube. The show game's live. There's English commentary. It's fantastic. So we'll see if I can get up at 5 a.m. to watch that. Being a night person, that's going to be tough. But the games that are on at, you know, 10 a.m, 11 a.m, very doable for me. Anything to add, gentlemen, before we wrap up this week's edition of the Trample Bet Podcast?
Nothing from me.
Yeah, much like the J League, the MLS is also back this week. I've got a couple picks in the midsection, and I've actually got a little. I thought it was supposed to be brief, but it ended up being a short memoir in the Facebook Trample Bet Facebook group. And so the only thing I'm just going to leave is a quick little nugget. Atlanta United, both teams are scoring over 2.5 goals. Would be a great shout for any listeners that weren't necessarily on the Patreon. And how can I not talk about some goals? And I think Georgios Giakoumakis is going to be, he's going to be lighting the league up. I think 12-1 on Bet365. It's a phenomenal price for a top goal scorer. So a couple little nuggets for this upcoming season. I hope we get some good fireworks this weekend.
A wee bit of free extra content there. But if you want the real extra content, join us on Patreon. Just have a search for just go to tramplebet.com. You'll find all the links there. Also join us on Facebook. Free to join that. Come in, be part of the conversation. Tell us what you like for the weekend.
Good show. Gordo. I was going to say, good shout from Darren this week in the Facebook group, who had Kyle Walker and Neil Maupay to be booked. Neil Maupay didn't come on until the second half, and Kyle Walker got booked, so it just paid out as a single, about 30-2. So he was tipping about 33-1. It came in at 30-2. That's brilliant. A win.
Yeah. And I saw loads of people in the Facebook group were actually on that. So yeah. You get those extra, you get those extra shouts in there from members of the community. So very, very worth joining. Gordo, Joey. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody for listening. As always, have a wonderful weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet Podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk. Sports Social Podcast Network.